Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are at this appointed time. We are just so happy that you've chosen to be with us for the next 30 or 40 minutes. This is Minister Vanessa with His Abounding Grace, which is a segment of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We're just so happy to be part of this wonderful network of brothers and sisters here where we can hopefully expect your lives to be changed in such a way that you go out and that you will help make a difference in someone else's life. I want to personally thank God for our founder, the founder of When Christians Speak Talk Radio, Reverend Ray Rose. I thank God for his ministry, and I thank God for everything he's already done, and we believe that the best is still yet to come. Amen. The reason I chose this segment to be called His Abounding Grace, most of you are probably familiar with Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 21st, which reads, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. And I always like to open up, I just started recently just to be giving a recap of what this broadcast is about. His abounding grace is a marvelous gift that we, you know, sometimes take for granted, talk about the grace of God. It's because of his grace that we have second chances. It's because of his grace that we are not consumed. It's because of his grace that the enemy, and I want to make sure you hear this, the enemy is already defeated. But, you know, oftentimes, instead of using his grace as an opportunity to just praise him and worship him and thank him, we use it as an opportunity to continue to sin. And that's not right, y'all. So our prayer this evening is that this message will encourage you to strengthen your relationship with God. And if you do not have a personal relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ, our prayer, my prayer, is that this message will convict you in such a way, touch your heart in such a way that you would really want to get to know Jesus for yourself. Tonight's message is called A Servant's Heart. And we got so many scriptures to share with you. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you're so wonderful, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you're so good to us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for giving us another day. Dear Lord God, we ask right now, Father, that hearts be open and minds be open to hear and receive everything that you have for them to receive tonight, Lord. For your word said, when it goes out, it will never return unto you void, that it will go out and accomplish that which you have purpose for it to accomplish. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be vessels to be used by you. And, Lord God, we give you the honor, glory, and praise right now. Dear God, we also lift up the families, Lord God, of the victims, Lord God, that's down in the apartment complex that collapsed down in Florida, Lord God. We know that's heavy on a lot of folks' hearts, Lord God, and we just ask right now that you would just comfort those families, please, Lord God. Comfort them as only you can, Lord God. Lord, we know we don't always understand what things that go on, but we know, Father, that you know all about it and that you're still in control. We ask you to look on the workers, Lord God, all the rescue workers, Lord God, that are digging into the concrete or whatever, Lord God, just you would protect them, please, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, even through this tragedy, Lord God, that somebody would come crying out to you What must I do to be saved? We thank you, Lord God, and we again give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, let's get to the message. Let's get to the message. I'm excited about it, you know, and it always touches me first. So whatever I share with you guys, it hits me first. So we're talking about a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Basically talking about serving one another. A servant's heart is a heart that pleases God. And we please God when we serve others. So how do we serve others? I want to start off in John 13 because I believe this is a great example from the greatest servant of all. We'll talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here, it is the Passover festival. It's just before, I'm sorry, the Passover festival. And Jesus is going to be washing his disciples' feet. So John 13th chapter, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The third verse says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God, and Jesus knew that he was returning to God. So Jesus gets up from the meal, takes off his outer clothing, and he wraps a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and look what our Savior did. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So the sixth verse says, he came to Simon Peter. When he got to Peter, Peter asked him, Lord, what are you doing? Are you about to wash my feet? And Jesus tells Peter, you don't know what I'm doing now. And I'm paraphrasing. You don't know what I'm doing now, but later you'll understand. And Peter, old good old Peter, says, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I clean you, you have no fellowship with me. This is the spiritual significance here. When Jesus is telling Peter, unless you let me do this, you have no part with me. So then Peter replies, dear Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needeth not saying to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. See, Jesus knew who was going to betray him. So he was telling the disciples, not just Peter, he was telling them that not all of them were clean. He knew that. And so the 12th verse says, so after he had washed their feet, after he had taken their garments, and he sat back down, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and you so well. You say well, for so I am. If I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. One another's feet. We serve our brothers and sisters by keeping in constant fellowship with them. We serve our brothers and sisters by sharing the word with them. We share our brothers and sisters by doing what Jesus did. And he, loving and kindness, he draws us back to him in fellowship. He draws us back to him in fellowship. So what does it really mean to serve? Jesus says again, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and I want you to get this. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. So you see, here Jesus is illustrating that the greatest rank in the kingdom is that of a servant. The greatest rank in the kingdom is that of a servant. I read one commentator this, and he said, washing the guest's feet was always done by the humblest of the servants. It was considered a mediocre task. Was Jesus waiting for one of his disciples to perform this task? But because they were debating who should be the greatest, you go up to Luke, the 22nd chapter, you read about that, did they miss their opportunity? Then he decides to set an example. The purpose of this action was to set an example, not to establish an ordinance in the church for washing of feet. Get this. Jesus says, "For I have given you an example." Jesus lets us know that if he, our king, can stoop down to wash the disciples' feet, there should be no question that we should do whatever is required of us, whatever is of God, whatever it is within our power to do to serve others for kingdom building. He's telling us by this example that we should take care of each other. He's telling us that we should have each other's interests at heart. He's telling us by this example that we should be our brother's keepers. A servant's heart, a heart of humility. What a great example. Here's our master, our savior, our Lord, the greatest servant of all, and he is serving his disciples. What equips us to serve in this manner? What equips us to serve in this manner? Matthew, the 22nd chapter, in the 36th verse, one of the disciples says, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus replies, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment." And Jesus continues, "And the second is this." You ready for this? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments," Jesus says, "hang all the law and the prophets." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Talking about love. Where is the love? How can we say we love God and we don't love each other? How can we say we love God who we've not seen and yet don't love our neighbors and our family members and others who we see every day? John 13th chapter in the 35th verse, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples," Jesus is speaking here, "if you love one another." If you love one another. 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, the 11th and 13th verse says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To this end, he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints." With his saints. That's 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. We should do unto others as we have them do unto us. A servant's heart is one that desires to serve others. It's a heart that is not selfish. It's a heart that's not self-seeking. It's a heart that is not, "I'll do that because he or she did that for me." It's a heart that doesn't, it's a heart that is not like, "I'll treat you right if you treat me right." That's not a servant's heart. A servant's heart is you still have a responsibility to love a person even if that person mistreats you. You know, did they mistreat Jesus? Did they mistreat Jesus? Yes, they did, but he still loved them. Did they talk about Jesus? Yes, they did, but he still loved them. Did they misjudge Jesus? Yes, they did, but he still loved them. And you respond, "I'm not Jesus." And you respond, "I'm not Jesus." Well, Jesus responds in John 13th chapter, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet." Did they ridicule Jesus? Yes, they did, but he still loved them. Did he mock and persecute Jesus? Yes, they did, but guess what? He still loved them. And you respond, "But I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus, sis." The Bible tells us in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, 5th verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did Jesus receive all the recognition that was due him? No, he didn't. No, he did not. But yes, he still loved him. So what if you don't receive recognition or credit that you believe is due you when you go to serve? A servant's heart is only concerned about caring for the needy, regardless of whether they receive recognition or thanks or not. When you serve as part of the body, it shouldn't matter whether your role was larger than someone else. Here's an old ancient Indonesian fable that I wanted to read to you, okay? This fable tells of a turtle that could fly, a turtle that could fly. He would hold on to a stick with his mouth as it was carried by geese. When the turtle heard the onlookers on the ground saying, "Oh my goodness, aren't those geese brilliant?" This turtle's pride was so hurt that he shouted out, "It was my idea." Of course, he lost his grip. His pride became his downfall. His pride became his downfall. Then that might sound comical, but that's something I think we should all take to heart. Talking about a servant's heart. A servant's heart is not boastful and is not proud. A servant's heart would gladly serve without seeking self-gratification. We should gladly serve without seeking public recognition or approval. Let's go to Matthew, the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter of Matthew talks about giving to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have the reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, truly I tell you, they have received their rewards in full. But when you give to the needy, that means when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So what is this saying? Don't let your intent be to point people to you. Don't let your deeds draw attention to you and not to Jesus. Don't go about serving if your heart is not right. Get your heart right. A heart of humility, a servant's heart. Which is a better attitude? Expecting to receive praises from man or expecting to receive praises for God when you stand before him? Somewhere along the way, I recall hearing something like, you can get a lot done when it doesn't matter who gets the credit. You can get a lot done when it doesn't matter who gets the credit. A servant's heart is one that desires to please God. A servant is one that follows after God's own heart. You see, when you have a heart that is turned towards compassion for God's people, there is love there. There is love there. What are some ways we can serve each other? Things that you might not even think about. For example, we can serve each other by just listening, being a listening ear. There are folks out there that just need somebody to listen to them, just to listen to them, not to pass judgment, not to jump in with your own opinions, but they just want somebody to listen to them. There are lonely people out here, and they just need somebody to listen, okay? That's serving. I don't know if you ever looked at it like that. How about a smile? You may be in public, and you see somebody frowning or whatever, and that person might have had a bad day, you know? And you just give them a smile, or you just walk into the room and you smile. It changes the whole atmosphere of the room. A smile. Have you ever thought about smiling as a way of serving? A smile, a simple smile, goes a long way. How about putting other needs before your own? You know, we are vessels that God wants to use. He wants to use us in such a way that we serve each other well, because when we represent Jesus, we still represent him well. And ask the question, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus serve in this situation? A servant's heart is one that asks the question that's posed in Psalms 116:12. Psalms 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How about our reasonable service? How about our reasonable service? A servant's heart prays for the hurting. How about serving one another by praying? How about serving one another by prayer? If someone asks you to pray for them, do that. You know, if you like me, you might need to write that down. Write their name down. Write the name and take the time to pray. Don't say, I'll pray for you, and then forget all about it. I think if you write it down or post a note somewhere, it'll be a nice reminder that, hey, I got to pray for John today. I promised him I would pray for him, you know. And then even if someone doesn't ask you to pray for them, if the Holy Spirit gives points someone to you and you see their face or you think their name comes up and the Holy Spirit says you need to pray for this person, that's serving that person, whether that person even knows you're doing it or not. You're serving unto God. When you ask to pray for someone, just do that. Pray for someone. Luke 22nd chapter, the 31st verse says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brother that's serving. Colossians 1st chapter, the 9th verse, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's serving, praying for someone. A servant's heart has a burning desire to pray for others. Ephesians 1st chapter, the 16th through the 18th verse says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. Serving one another by praying for them. Just by praying for them. Do you really know how important it is to sincerely pray? To sincerely pray for others and to sincerely serve each other. When you encourage someone, you are serving them. When you are encouraging someone, someone that may have lost their way, someone who might be having a rough day, someone who just might not know what to do next, how about encouraging that person with a word or two? How about a word of encouragement? A servant's heart is one that serves with an attitude of gladness. With an attitude of gladness. And get this, whatever you do in the kingdom, you either lifting someone up or you're tearing someone down. Which one do you believe glorifies God? Lifting someone up through encouragement or tearing someone down? How many know that we are all called and appointed to serve one another? John 13:17 said, if you know these things, happy are ye that you do them. Jesus is reminding us here that it's not enough to know these things. It's not enough to know what we must do, for to know these truths about humility and unselfishness and service is one thing, but to actually put them into practice, that's what really counts, my brother. That's what really counts, my sister. The real value and blessings come in doing them. The real value and blessings come in serving. Talking about a servant's heart. Serving the Lord with gladness. Serving the Lord with humility. Matthew's the 23rd chapter in the Living Bible paraphrase says, the more lowly your service to others, the greater you are. To be the greatest, be a servant. 12th verse says, but those who think themselves great shall be disappointed and humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. How many know that the one who is the greatest among us, again, is the one who stoops to serve others with humility. For you see, the more lowly your service to others, that is when you do it with a pure motive, with a grateful and sincere heart, the better your reward in heaven. The more lowly your service to others, the greater you are. To be the greatest, you must be a servant. Talking about a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and the 31st, fourth verse, this says, listen to this, Matthew 25, this shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see about me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? I think this is something. The king answered and said, verily I say unto you, and as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You have done it unto me. I want to go give you a couple more examples, if time would allow. I can give you at least one more example. In the Old Testament, just let me preface it by saying that God has no respect of person when it comes to him wanting to use you to serve others. No matter what your stature in life is, no matter what your background is, no matter if other people have shunned you or put you aside, Jesus wants to use you for his service. He uses people who others seem to look down on. You see, with God, it does not matter where you come from. It's only where you're going that makes all the difference. Only what you do for the kingdom of God makes a difference. For example, and I want to take you to this biblical example of this woman in the Old Testament, okay, who was a servant. We might not look at her as a servant, but she was a servant. Who am I talking about? Rahab. Rahab, who lived in the city of Jericho. Let me give you some background before we read some of the text. The book of Joshua opens up with the Lord speaking to Joshua right after the death of Moses, and the Lord is instructing Joshua on what to do next. Joshua, the first chapter, and the second verse, the Lord says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. So here they are, preparing to cross over the Jordan. And they see that their task is great, but they knew that the Lord was with Joshua just as he was with Moses. They had to conquer the land, the Canaan, but they first had to cross the Jordan. In preparation for the invasion, Joshua sends out two spies. He sends out two spies. This is part of his military strategy. So now enters the story of Rahab, a great servant of God. Here we'll see that God uses people, again, like I said before, no matter what their stature in life is. Here's Rahab, a prostitute. And here we'll see how she risked her own life and served God's chosen people. You see, you want to know what's so interesting about the Bible? I find this interesting. The Bible doesn't hide the fact. It simply tells us like it is. In this chapter, we learn that Rahab was a harlot. Someone who sold her body for money. Now, you know, some Bible commentators may try to play this down and say that she was an innkeeper. Well, she might have been an innkeeper, but the Bible says she was a harlot, okay? She was a harlot. And I believe that the reason the Bible mentions this is to let us know that God uses whoever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. He uses people that others turn their noses up on. He uses people that others have cast aside. So Joshua, the sixth chapter, in the 17th verse, lets us know that Rahab had heard some mighty things about the God of Israel. So even though she did not at this time have a close personal relationship with him, she was convinced that God was on the children of Israel's side. And because of this, she hid the spies on her rooftop. She actually protected them from her own people. Rahab and the spies, Joshua, the second chapter. Let's read. Then Joshua's son of Nun secretly said, two spies, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She had hid them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You might catch up with them. But she had actually taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of the flats she had hid on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the folds of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. The eighth verse says, before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab goes up to the roof, and she says to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and a great fear of you has fallen on us, so much so that we're in fear and we're melted because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the river, the water of the Red Sea. You see, Rahab and her people, they had heard about this God of Israel, okay? We've heard about how when you came out of Egypt and what you did and to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, she says, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. I believe she had a servant's heart. Praise be to God. You see, Rahab's story did not end there, for we know that her life began to blossom. She was protected. She gave up her former occupation, and she became an honorable housewife. Rahab, who was a heathen woman, lived among the Jewish people. She married the Israelite Salmon, and she had a child. Remember Boaz? Boaz was her child. This same Boaz, who was the husband of Ruth, okay? Ruth, who became the great-grandmother of King David. Hence, Rahab became a mother, listen to this, y'all, became a mother in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And this was a privilege that every Jewish woman would later come to envy. Now tell me, talking about a transformation, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anyone that God won't use? Is there anyone? Rahab knew how to serve gladly, and because of this, her name goes down in history as one in the lineage of the Almighty Jesus Christ. How many Rahabs do you know? How many Rahabs do you believe are in the kingdom of God? Oh, there are many. There are many. For again, God isn't concerned about where we came from, but he knows, let me back this up. God's not concerned about where we came from, but where we're going and how available we are to serve him. Are you available today? Are you available today? Are you dwelling on your background, on your past? I know I'm speaking to someone because I keep repeating this. Are you hesitant and stepping out in faith and serving God because you think God does not want to use you? Are you afraid or hesitant of something your friends or families might say? You see, sometimes we must do things that are not always popular with our own people. Serving with gladness is not always the most popular thing to do. Sometimes you must be a risk taker, a risk taker. As long as you're doing the will of God. Rahab, you see, was a risk taker, and she was rewarded greatly for her service to God's people. Now let's move on to the New Testament, because I do think we have time for one more example. And we're going to move on to the New Testament, and we're going to pay another visit to another sister, rather, a servant, another servant whose background didn't matter to God. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Luke 8 introduces us to this woman. Luke 8, first verse starts off, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, talking about Jesus, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 demons. Mary Magdalene, let me just interject here, is mentioned more frequently in the Gospels than any other woman except for Mary, Jesus' mother. Mary Magdalene is mentioned more frequently in the Gospels other than any other woman except Jesus' mother, Mary. Jesus delivered her from demon possession, and she goes about to become one of his most devoted followers. Mary Magdalene was indeed a true servant of God, and she served with an attitude of gladness. Mary Magdalene provided funds to support Jesus and his disciples as they went about ministering, Luke 8 chapter in the 3rd verse. She was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Talking about serving, she never left him. Don't you know that sometimes you can serve him by just spending quality time with him? Just honoring him because of who he is, letting him know just how thankful you are. Mary Magdalene had a very important role in the account of Jesus' last moments. She was present at Jesus' burial. She was one of the first to discover the stone had been rolled away, Matthew's 28th chapter in the 1st verse, talking about how she served God when so many others forsook him. even when it wasn't the most popular thing to do? Are you serving with an attitude of gladness like Mary Magdalene did? Even when you can't find anyone else to help you, are you been a true servant with a servant heart? A disciplined follower of Christ who is one who easily identifies with Christ, How many know that when your heart desires holiness, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes sometimes. It doesn't mean that God does not want to use you. But it means that you should not dwell on your past. Do not dwell on your mistakes. Did you know that the master is a master of forgiveness? He stands ready to break your fall with arms outstretched and loving arms to bring you back into the fold. As I've come to a close, we're talking about a servant's heart, a heart towards holiness, striving for perfection, knowing that he is well able to sustain you and to help you overcome any temptation. So a servant's heart, as you go about your day, as you go about your business, be a disciplined follower of Christ. Do as Jesus did. Jesus, the greatest example of all, he was a servant to all. He offered himself to all. Jesus, the greatest servant of all, talking about a servant's heart. And I pray that you would let these words administer to you and search your heart and your soul and see if there's something that you need to change. And you know what? You can do that because God stands ready right now to receive you back into the fold. If you're not saved, if you've been listening to me and you've not repented of your sins and you've not accepted Jesus into your heart, the greatest thing you can do right now, if you're not 100% sure you're going to spend eternity in heaven, is to get saved. Nobody else can save you except Jesus today. There's only one way to God. Regardless of what someone else says to you, there's only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So are you saved? This is the most important question I'll ask you this evening. This is the most important question anyone would ask you. This is the most important question you can ask someone else. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? You know, Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 3:10 says, you need to admit that you are a sinner. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't care how many things you do, if you've not accepted Jesus into your life, that's the most important thing. And then you need to be willing to repent from sin, to turn from sin. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Believe that he was buried and rose from the dead. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through prayer, right now, you can invite Jesus to come into your life to become your personal Savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God I'm a whosoever. What about you? I thank God I'm a whosoever. What about you? I thank God that he loved me so much that he died. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. So if you've not asked Jesus to come into your life to become your personal Savior, you can repeat this simple prayer right now after me. Are you ready? With a sincere and pure heart. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. That's it, brother. That's it, my sister. If you did that, angels in heaven are rejoicing with you right now. If you trusted Jesus just now as your personal Savior, you have just begun a wonderful new life with him. Now, don't be selfish with this. Go out and share this good news with someone. Send us an email. Let us know. Send that email to hisaboundinggrace forever. That's the number four, ever, E-V-E-R, at gmail.com. Here's Abounding Grace Forever at gmail.com. And let us know that you made this beautiful decision, this brand new life that's waiting for you right now. We want to rejoice with you, and we want to be praying with you. And then get a good Bible and read it every day. Get to know Jesus every day. Talk to God every day and listen. Take time to listen to him to see what he wants to say to you. Get baptized and worship and fellowship in a local church where you can serve with others, where you can serve with others, where Christ is preached and where the Bible is the final authority. Tell others about this good news. Tell others about this good news. Amen. 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 We're going to go to God and close out this message with prayer. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the souls that have come out to you, crying out to you, that have accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that angels in heaven are rejoicing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. And as you said in your word, we know that it's not gone forth, Lord God, empty-handed, but it's come back to you, Lord, tenfold, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is not voided, Lord God. We thank you for ears have listened, their hearts have been opened, minds have been opened to receive all that you have for them, Lord God. And help us all, Lord God, to desire to be better servants for you, Father. Help us, Lord God, to want to have a heart of humility, Lord God, to have a heart of holiness, Lord God, to have a heart that's pointed towards you, Lord God, to do as you did, Father, to humble ourselves and be a servant to all, Lord God. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for allowing us, Lord God, to spend time in your word this evening, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us another opportunity to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Now stay tuned for some important announcements from our host. God bless you.
Praise
we
Lord,
love
everyone.
You. And look
thank
up.
You for listening
amen.
To When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Just want to remind you that History Bound and Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray and Friends is every first, second, and fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElrain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Cleophas Malone, and Elster Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. This is a free conference call number, okay? Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry is a new ministry with the host of Pastor Ray Rose and Pastor Maggie Wilson. It's every third Friday at 7 p.m. I do also want to encourage you to go and check out our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You'll find a little bit more information about the different hosts and about the different shows. Please continue to like us at on our Facebook and Instagram pages of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And also, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so by sending an email to whenchristianspeak@gmail.com, or you can send us a message to any of the social media sites. Thank you again for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.